that we might be shaped by the Holy Spirit's message to us today and transformed for a life of service in the world. Today's scripture comes from the Old Testament. It's one of the most familiar and beloved passages in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. I invite you to join me in reciting these comforting and inspiring verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Well, the 23rd Psalm. One of the most familiar, most beloved passages in the Bible. It's been the inspiration of artwork from catacomb paintings in antiquity to stained glass windows in churches all over the world to the metal sculpture that adorns the exterior of this church's sanctuary. The 23rd Psalm, you may have memorized it as a child. You're probably best acquainted with it from the number of times you've heard it or the number of times you've said it at funerals. This week, the 23rd Psalm made me think of the Secret Service. Yes, those security folks in dark suits and sunglasses who talk into their wrist radios. I'll come back to that in a moment. But first, let me ask you this. Who guards or guides you? Who determines where you go, what you do, what happens to you? At first, you probably say, well, I decide for myself. I choose what I do. I decide where to go. Yes, but maybe not as much as you imagine. Others may have more influence on you than you may realize. For instance, parents obviously guide and guard their children. But others play a role in that too. Teachers, of course, coaches and directors and advisors, grandparents, maybe older siblings, ministers perhaps. Also, parents may find that their self-determination is not as complete as they imagine. For instance, if you are caring for an aging parent, that duty puts constraints on what you can do and where you can go. Who else can guide and guard you, impacting what you do? Well, the expectations and requirements of your job. Employers certainly provide people with certain benefits and protections, but the employer's expectations may also shape how you structure your day. How you distinguish when you are on your own time and when you are on company time. An employer may guide you in deciding where you will live, and that can have an effect on determining how much time you have available for non-work related activities. Or think about an employee starting a new job. Who guides and guards them? Well, they would be reliant on the person who hired them, or perhaps a direct supervisor in their area of work. Maybe a colleague who remembers what it's like to be overwhelmed in that new position. That colleague takes the new hire under their wing. That's who would guard and guide the new hire. When it comes to guarding and guiding people, no one's better known for that than the United States Secret Service. We all know that American presidents have lots of aides and advisors, of course, but Apparently, the Secret Service agents under presidential detail have a great deal of control over the president. Where he can walk, who he can shake hands with, where he can grab a snack, all in the name of safety and protection. The agents assigned to the presidential detail guard and guide the person who occupies the Oval Office. Similarly, entertainment celebrities, business tycoons, even the most elite professional athletes have restrictions imposed on them by their agents looking to protect their financial worth, bodyguards responsible for the celebrity's personal physical safety. Those handlers have tremendous influence as they guide and guard the celebrities they work for. Now, I bring all these examples to mind to illustrate the difference between now and ancient times. In the ages when the Bible was written, everyone knew that it was a queen or king or emperor who guided and guarded you. The ruler's judgment or whim guided how hard you had to work day by day to provide for your family while also supporting the royal treasury. In return, the monarch would bear responsibility for safeguarding your life against itinerant thieves or invading armies. It was the king who guided what you did in your daily life and guarded your well-being in the kingdom. Because of this benevolent oversight, in the ancient world, kings were known as shepherds of their people. We'll come back to that in a moment. The 23rd Psalm's metaphor of a shepherd evokes imagery of a calming pastoral scene with cute, cuddly sheep traipsing over a hillside or resting in the cool shade of a leafy tree. The psalmist describes that vividly and succinctly in just 6 verses. Let's take a closer look at a few of those verses. He makes me lie down in green pastures, meaning he provides a source of food, fields for grazing. He leads me beside still waters. I've heard it said that sheep won't drink from fast-moving waters. I don't know if that's true, but I do know that it's risky. I remember seeing a video of some hikers in Scotland who were struggling mightily to help a sheep that had fallen into a swift-flowing stream, and because of the weight of its waterlogged wool, it couldn't get itself out. So calm, still waters would provide a measure of safety as the sheep comes to drink. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Well, a good shepherd's reputation is built on knowing how to lead sheep in the right places where they are safest and well provided for. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, in everyday life, there are always threats to one's well-being. Maybe circumstances that threaten one's health, or financial stability, or physical safety. But under the guidance and guardianship of the Good Shepherd, one can face the threats without fear. The rod that's mentioned may have been a club to ward off predatory animals, and the staff would have been used to prod and guide reluctant sheep. These tools of the shepherd's trade would be a source of reassurance in times of uncertainty or danger. Oh, note one other thing in this part of the psalm. The psalmist switches from talking about the shepherd to talking to the shepherd. For you are with me, it says. That draws us in, making this relationship with the shepherd even more intimate, more personal. Let's see. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. With these verses, the psalmist changes the metaphor to that of a host at table. But the gracious host does for the guest exactly what the shepherd does for the sheep. Provides food. You prepare a table. Drink. My cup runneth over. Shelter and protection. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. But before this psalm ever praises the role of the shepherd or even the gracious host, this psalm makes a bold, faith-inspired assertion. Remember back when I said that in ancient times, kings were known as the shepherd of their people? Well, look here. The psalmist doesn't say, "The king is my shepherd." No, he declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." The psalmist is proclaiming, "My source of guidance, my provider of security and peace, the one who provides for my daily needs is the Lord, the God of heaven and earth." So before this psalm ever became a comforting assurance to grieving families, it was a declaration of faith. And then the earliest Christians said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and they understood the Lord to be also the title of Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says directly, "I am the good shepherd." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, they found him to be shepherd and guardian of their souls. In the Christian rereading of the psalm, Jesus as the shepherd is the one who restores our souls, leads us in the paths of righteousness, accompanies us through the danger, spreads the holy supper before us in the presence of sin and death, and pursues us in his gracious love for all the days of our lives. So let's realize this. The 23rd Psalm is not only a source of familiar, comforting assurance. Every time we say the words of the 23rd Psalm, we are making a bold declaration of faith. First and foremost, we depend on God, the Heavenly Father of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, to guide and to guard our daily lives. Amen.